The hardest money that has ever been invented.
I also made the case for owning Bitcoin, the quintessence of scarcity premium. It's literally the only large tradable asset in the world that has a known fixed maximum supply. By its design, the total quantity of Bitcoins cannot exceed 21 million.
Bitcoin is the hardest money that has ever been invented.
If you don't have my private key, you cannot spend my Bitcoin, period. And this is the power of Bitcoin.
It's the first time we figured out how to create true property that you can take possession of with full custodial rights.
Tim Apple, I mean, you mean the guy that continuously say that his company's virtuous.
Did you see that? Is that what you're talking about? That
about
five
what? The
minute,
slave labor shit? That,
what? Slave labor?
Oh, well, the correlation between Tim Cook going around and doing we're green ads, but the reality of how these phones are made. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
It's cruel, but it's dark humor.
Yeah, well, I mean, it, yeah, you know, you can, what's the saying? I guess, like, I don't know if this is the actual saying, but the hypocrites are the loudest ones in the room.
Especially when they got multi-billion dollars in their pocket.
Yeah, especially when you've got a virtual monopoly in, you know, many different ways, and you just kind of throw your weight around, you know, the industry and try to obsolete anybody who is trying to disrupt you via, you know, using your size to throw around and try to, you know, kind of manipulate the market or, you know, further sort of add to your moat.
Yeah.
One way that Microsoft Office, you know, does this specifically is like new features that come out elsewhere, like they'll put it into Excel. And since everyone's already like captured by Excel, they're just like further captured, even though you've got this disruptive new thing out there. Well, now Excel just does that thing.
Yeah.
And you just
yeah.
stay there.
Well, I will say, and you correct me if I'm wrong, the Google Suite is pretty much crushing anything that Microsoft is doing. Is that
yeah,
still
free? And I think, yeah, I think that might have been the impetus to make the Microsoft Office like a free version on the internet, just like Google Drive yeah, or yeah. Google Suite or what Google Office or whatever it's called.
Yeah, well, Google is they had the Trojan horse effect where they were already on everybody's computer.
Mm.
So it was like, oh yeah, now we could just add this like cloud, like the cloud suite, what yeah. they call it. Like, oh no, you don't need a Windows or a Google
right.
device. We'll just throw this shit in your browser, man. Just exactly. go ahead and just save shit. We'll give you unlimited, monopoly.
Yeah, making it easy. Just people walking right into the, we have all of your data trap.
Yeah, the I'm reading too much case, and we'll get into that later. But the
panopticon
of Apple and Google and all of these. He had a honey badger. We're gonna get right into it. But hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Talking in Bits. I'm back here with Kev,
yo.
The new and improved Talking in Bits. But instead of talking about it, no pun intended, proof of work is gonna be the actual explainer. So you'll see over the next few weeks, over the next few years, over the next time, what I mean by the new improved Talking in Bits. But we back. Thankful for all y'all that listen. But to get into it, the Eric had this, I'm talking about Eric Kaysen here. He had this panel, I guess, or presentation. There you go. Because he was by himself. It wasn't a panel. At the Honey Badger conference or whatever. And it was about 15, 20 minutes. But I have shared that. And mind you, I don't really share Bitcoin presentations because nobody's interested. What we got here? Oh, okay. What we got to get into, Kev?
Nothing. We're not. I'm just prepping
okay.
for a minute from now. Sorry.
Prepping for? Sorry. No. All good. We should be doing that first. Matter of fact, I see you pulling out the fountain app.
There we go.
Let's forget Eric Kaysen for a little bit here.
Okay.
And let's talk about the real MVPs of the show, and that's the supporters. Do we got anybody boosting over here?
Yeah. So as Jose said earlier, we embarking on a new journey here with Talking in Bits. This is actually from Under the Influence, episode 4, which is segment we like to do once a month at the end of the month, last Friday of the month, and people can come out and join us in studio and bring their own topics or just rap with us on whatever we're talking about. So our good friend Fiat Bad.
Yeah.
So Fiat. This was back July 29th, boosted us 50,000 sats. Thank you, Fiat Bad. Thanks for having me on, guys. It was a blast. It was a blast having you on, Fiat Bad.
Yes, sir.
Looking forward to the next time. Hopefully, you can make your way down here.
Yeah, get on that flight, bro.
Yeah, get on that flight, man.
You gave us the secret weapon. I won't dox you here, but I know what the secret is. Get on that flight.
Yeah, don't blow up a spot. this other one, I think I know who this person is, and I think I heard him on some podcasts a while back, but I haven't really heard him lately. It's a Bubba. If I'm not mistaken, this dude is the truck driver.
Yep. Shout out to Bubba. Met Bubba in person last year. Ever since I met him, he's probably one of the most genuine dudes I've ever met.
Yeah. He just,
shout out to Bubba.
When I heard him on the two or three pods last year, I think it was, he just seemed like a nice, you know, real person.
Straight arrow.
Knows what proof of work is because he's driving that truck all over the place, making sure that goods get from A to B so that we can go to stores and buy the things that we expect to see in the stores in this privileged lifestyle. Yeah. Anyways, he boosted us 10,000 sats back on the road after having the summer off. Hope y'all are good. I don't have Bitcoin fatigue. Nice.
Yeah.
I have Bitcoin community fatigue. All talk and talk. I'd say 90% are fiat shitbags in disguise. They will fall and fail. Great show. Always remember what's important inside you and who is important. Bitcoin has a price. Your family, friends, and your life is priceless. Enjoy it and have fun. Words of wisdom from Bubba.
Love, Bubba. I can't believe I missed that, man. Thanks, Kev, for doing what we're supposed to be doing, keeping me in check first and foremost, but, you know, bringing the listeners first to the forefront in the beginning of the episode. Listen, Bubba, shout out to you, man. I appreciate you. When I spoke to you in person and every other time I've spoken to you after, it's always wisdom. It's always love. And I don't know how many people know this, but Bubba and his wife out here killing the truck driving because she is also a truck driver. And that's one of the toughest labor skills, whatever word you want to use there in America, but it's one of the most important ones.
They always seem to be in demand. Every time I pass a 18-wheeler on the road, they've got the sign on the back, help wanted, drivers wanted, CDL drivers,
so
wanted,
hard.
Whatever it is.
So hard. My father-in-law, shout out to him. Yeah. He had a stint there about 10 years or whatever where he did it. And it's grueling, bro. Yeah. It's not easy.
You ain't got a job. Get your CDL. Get off the couch. Go drive some trucks across the country.
Yeah. For me, I'm going to keep my vehicle away from the truck just because I've watched too many Final Destination movies.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's why I'm always passing them.
Exactly. Like, speed up. You just get next to you just speed up, which is dangerous.
That's why that way the trailer doesn't fly off and smash my face.
You know, especially when you see the setup of, like, the logs, like the lumber there.
It's like, man. I just go off the highway at that point. I'm like, take the next exit, stop at the rest stop for 20 minutes, get them far enough ahead of me, and then I get back on the road.
And then there's another truck. Anyway. Shout out to Bubba. You're absolutely right. Bitcoin does have a price, and everything, you know, that's personally attached to life is priceless. So I agree with Bubba on that.
We're going to talk about that in a second.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next one up is from at No Waste BTC Signs.
Fam, I missed all these fucking comments. Shout out to y'all, the listeners, man. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. 10,000 sats. This episode was fire. Three fire emojis. Helping plebs keep their head in the game. Glad you're finding the value in what we're saying here. No Waste BTC Signs. If we help even one person keep their head in the game, that is a win.
Yeah. And I want people to know that, like, you know, which is rare. First of all, you know, we talked about this briefly before the mic went on. The content game in Bitcoin right now is redundant, and it's very low quality, in my opinion. And anybody, you know where to find me. Reach out to me if you think I'm hating, you want to call it out. But I think that's true. So, yeah, like Kev just said, I do appreciate the fact that we can give some type of new value, but also understand that we're going through this journey along with everybody else. Yeah. Like a lot of these podcasters, especially, or let's just say Bitcoin influencers, because it doesn't have to be podcasters, they spend so much time in the high throne that they forget that they can experience fatigue, that they can go through, you know, the exploration goes away for them because they have to position themselves as the people that know it all.
Yeah.
And I would like to say that I'll never be in that position because one of my favorite sayings is I don't know shit about shit.
Yeah.
And that's funny, but it's also me keeping myself in check to understand that, boy, we're early. And boy, there's so much stuff that we don't know and that we just kind of give hypothesis to, but really have no claim to. And back to Bubba's point, man, is this community just full of people just inflating bullshit over bullshit. Like, when I first jumped into the Bitcoin Twitter space, because that's mostly where all the degens are, man, it was new stuff. It was like stuff that'll get you deeper in the rabbit hole, take this corner, understand this, learn this. Now I go through Bitcoin Twitter, which is rare nowadays because of the fatigue, and it's like, wow, Like this, it's just empty tweets of mm-hmm. just redundant quotes and just mm-hmm. bullshit that we, I guess, all should know. But it's just, the bar is really low, man. That's kind of what I'm trying to get at here. So glad people are getting value.
Yeah.
And just a reminder for, is that the last one we had on Fountain for that?
No, we got two more.
Oh, let's keep it going.
Next one is at the Rulers Broken.
Shout out to Rulers Broken, friend of the show for a long time.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great name, by the way. The Rulers Broken.
Like, yeah.
You know, the measuring stick is just totally fucked up. Bitcoin fatigue is a real thing. I've been, this one, 2100 sats. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bitcoin fatigue is a real thing. I've been trying to learn as much as I can, trying to figure out where I belong in this, trying to provide value and working hard to build community here in my city, but it's tough. I recently had a Bitcoiner cut me out of their lives because I wouldn't follow along with their low integrity, high time preference behavior too.
Mm.
We have to remember that what we're doing here is a marathon, not a sprint. I'm guilty at going too hard to stay humble and provide value.
Love that.
Yeah.
That's all we're here to do, Broken Ruler. We're going to provide value. Appreciate you, good sir.
Dang, man. It's tough to cut people, out of your life, from in general. But then when you have somebody cut you out because you didn't fit their criteria, that can feel a little bit a shot across the bow, especially if you are of the position that what they're trying to go down and do, what the road they're going down, is one of low integrity. So, tough decision, the Ruler's Broken, but tough situation rather, because it wasn't their decision. Good luck to you. Stay humble, provide value. Love that phrase.
Yeah.
And then the next one is just a response from you to them. So that's it.
Okay. I do be responding to the ones I see, but obviously here on the show is when we can expound a little bit more. And thank y'all for supporting the show. Friendly reminder that, Talking in Bits is fully funded by the audience and the listeners that support the show. Not only is that a split for each of us, but it's also for OpenSats and open source development contributions. That's very important to keep this, these, I keep calling them weapons, but that goes back to the casing mode. Mm-hmm. These weapons that we're going to need to actually achieve what it is that we all wish that we can achieve. So you're not only supporting us, you're supporting the show, you're supporting free and open source development.
Yeah.
I've always said this before, but if you guys want to be a part of the show, if you guys want to partake, you guys can also earn some sats, because I think it's very important to keep it that way. You can do that on Fountain. Very easy nowadays to load up either a Moon wallet or a Cash App wallet. Load up your Fountain wallet and check out the value that the Rulers Broken has stated that we've been delivering. So
yeah. No ad dollars here. Hell,
never.
We don't even take dollars.
Yeah. I don't carry dollars at all. Actually, we just I won't dox him, but I had a coworker hit me up in the hallway before I came to the studio over here and was like, "Hey, man, do you got change for 20? And I was like, "What the fuck is that? what is that green worthless paper?" But anyways, I'm going to be bouncing around here. And just because that worthless paper reminded me of something. Have you seen Tucker Carlson's latest hyperinflation episode?
No, but I have been wanting to watch him more than ever now that he is not associated to any media news network on TV.
Okay. Well, good news is,
at least that's my impression of what he's doing now. I have not done the research.
Well, I know who Tucker Carlson, we all know who he is. Most people know who he is, but I don't listen to him ever at all. Not even when he was on CNBC?
I think he was on Fox.
Whatever the hell he was. I don't listen to him there and I don't listen to him now. But this last episode he put out, I guess he has this Tucker on X series,
yeah,
which is pretty dope. One of the first few that I've seen try to monetize X.
He got more views or more people tuned in to his show than like the Republican debate.
Well, it's very easy when you have sniffing coke, Obama gay, it's pretty easy to get free.
I can watch the circus or I can watch somebody who's serious.
Right. So anyways, I don't want to get too deep into that one. But his latest episode on hyperinflation, he goes down to Argentina and a few bullets that I pulled out. Now, I like these because they're like 10 minutes. Some of them are longer, but this one was 10 minutes and then it has segments to it. But if you're in Argentina right now, your money loses 10% of its value every single month.
That slow? I thought it was faster.
Well, I
thought it was 10% a day.
In historical context, Waymar, that's slow, but it's still crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
60. I think the other bullet that they dropped there was 60% of children in Argentina are broke, which is also crazy and staggering.
Mm-hmm.
But what I had to message my wife as soon as I saw this, and Tucker goes to this like It's illegal down there, but it's like a, they call it a cueva, which is a cave, right? And it's supposed to be like a way for you to like transact your US dollars for Argentinian dollars, but it's illegal as fuck.
Yeah.
But anyways, he goes there, he gives $100 bill and just receives like baller stacks of Argentinian money. Like, and I'm like looking at this. So I just immediately like sent this to my wife, who obviously is a person that I have kids with and have, you know, have a legacy intact with. And I'm like, we talk about this all the time, especially as Bitcoiners, but I really don't think people understand how close that is to happening.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do I think people think that it is going to happen. I think people are always like, well, it's our currency. Theirs is debasing, but it's like theirs is debasing because of our currency.
I mean, we've already lost 99% of the value of the dollar. How much further could we go?
Apparently much further below. But I don't know where I was going with that, but like it's fresh in my mind and it's scary because in that same video, they, you know, the whole hyperinflation thing, we all know Weimar happened. It's happened. But like they showed Argentina, say, 80 to 100 years ago, and it was probably one of the richest cities ever, related to Paris, but more expensive. Like that's how beautiful it was. And now you see video of his being there recently, and it's slums. Yeah. It's completely destroyed.
Well, that's what happens when you get, when you, first of all, you don't even have control over the situation. And then, you know, Alex Gladstein has written extensively about the IMF and World Bank and their loans and how they keep countries from rising up to be players on a global scale. And Argentina fits that bill to a T. Africa fits that bill to a T. These are some of the most resource, like, rich areas in the world.
Facts.
And there's no reason they should be impoverished. The reason that they are is because centralized entities have dictated these people's lives for decades and decades. And Bitcoin actually does fix this because it replaces them with an honest system.
Yeah. And we could segue soon into Kaysen because I think he hits on all of this. It's the crony,
crony capitalism.
Crony capitalism, but the crony politics as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like these politicians, they know that, you know, taxing is not favorable. And when it comes to votes, people don't want to be taxed.
Have you seen the Venn diagram? It has, the left circle is government, the right circle is capitalism, and the overlap is crony capitalism. And that's how you actually define it for somebody who thinks that capitalism is what we have. And it's like, no. The government is literally just controlling everything. You just don't, they've done it so subtly now that you don't notice it.
Right. And it's legit. You know, so once again, they just found clever ways to basically debase currency without raising taxes. Mm-hmm. The tax rate may stay the same, but the value's being, and that's happening. It's being impacted all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I can, I'm going to segue over to Kaysen because what I mean by Kaysen is Eric Kaysen. I'm going to call him a philosopher of a Bitcoiner. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe people know him from his Coinbase days. Maybe people know him from his Unchained days. But he's definitely, I've been reading his book, Crypto Sovereignty, lately, which you and I will dig into over the next few weeks here on the show. And it basically just explains that, how what you just said, which is now we've been able to get, we're able to escape and remove that crux of politicians being able to use the money printed to their advantage into a system where the law only gives a damn about the code.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give a damn about the human. It doesn't give it doesn't even give a damn about the currency itself. It just, you know, all programs could do is follow their code. I can't do anything else besides this. And because of that, and amongst a few other things, because of that, we're able to leverage that to have honest truth systems where none of this bullshit happens. And I find it very fascinating because he kind of like slurves around this, like, why that's important, but also the, and I struggle to say the word, but the panopticon, right? How
nailed it.
Did I? Awesome. Yeah. Shout out to Eric because he's the only person I hear that's just like screaming that left and right. But how it's basically, and this is what I was saying earlier before we went into the what I'm going to call the friends of the shows on Fountain, is that he was able to explain in 15, 20 minutes during his Honey Badger panel or presentation how the panopticon has gone from basically a POW camp all the way to this digital surveillance system as it exists today, where we sit in front of our computers. For those of you that don't know, the panopticon, I'm going to fucking screw myself over here. Give me some sats just for saying them right, y'all. It basically was an original technology to kind of build a prison where the watcher can always watch you, but you can't watch the watcher. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, and Eric shows this, I'll probably leave a link in the description or whatever, but Eric basically shows this system where it's like a tower in the middle, right? This is where the security is. This is where the state is, right? And then around it is just prisons, right? And then you're supposed to be subjected to just basically always being able to see the watcher, but not know if they're actually watching or not, right? So as an inmate inside of the cell, should I try to break out? Yeah. Should I try? Well, I don't know if they're watching or not, right?
In my mind, I have like this scene in a movie and it's like, it's dark outside. You're in the prison yard and you look up to the tower and all you see is all the lights pointed right at you. You don't know if anyone's in the tower or not.
Bingo. Except you're not outside. You're surrounded by other inmates, basically. Yeah. So he explains how that was like the first version of it, and that was like the medieval times. But then we go over to like POW camps, right, which eventually turned into concentration camps, mm-hmm. which eventually turned into
internment camps?
Internment camps, but what's happening over in China right now too, like the re-education camps, where they like literally get men and women, I'm assuming, and they like kind of like, it's a concentration camp where you're basically not killed, you're reprogrammed.
What the shit?
So they strip away your culture, they strip away your religion, they strip away everything, they put you back into society after the reprogramming, but you're basically now just a shell of yourself.
Right? Dude, that is straight out of 1984.
What do you mean, like the year or there's a movie?
The book.
I've never read it.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah. That on the list?
That might be the one that you need to read right after Crypto Sovereignty. Because literally what you described, man, I don't want to spoil anything for you.
Yeah.
Continue.
If anybody's out there read the book.
Dude, it's right here. It's fucking right here. Just give it,
give
it back to Marty when you're done.
We can't make this up, y'all. Literally, Kev just handed me the book right here.
It's on the bookshelf right next to me. Yeah. It's literally the one on the end.
So I'm definitely going to check this out. I got a few books in deck, but. The thing is that like, so they went from that, but now his argument is that they've next leveled the shit where it's like, oh, now you're in the prison in your own home and it's through digital surveillance.
Yeah.
So like he has this image where like it shows what the old way would be of that. Like I can't see the person watching me, et cetera. And then he was just like, it's all the same. You sit in front of your computer. You don't know if they're watching, but you're watching them, right? You're looking at the screen. Mm-hmm. He even went as to say as like our slouch nature is that of a defeated inmate, right? Like our slouch, how we carry ourselves through society. You got to watch this panel. I'm not doing it justice. I promise you not.
Oh, I mean, it's
only 20 minutes.
It's freaking me out. And I'm not even hearing Eric Kaysen talk. And he's very eloquent in his speech. And the words he would use, I'm sure, would be even more unsettling than what I'm hearing right now.
But, so this isn't a show. Everybody knows we don't do ads or anything. This is just really good writing from Eric.
Yeah.
And this is his bag. Like this is where he's at. But basically how we can overcome that through cryptography. Mm-hmm. And he's very detailed on how he uses crypto. Right. Yeah. And cryptography, which is crypto as well. Right. So he like lowercase, capital. One is the technology. One is shitcoins. Right? Like, so he's very clear on like, hey, I use the word crypto a lot, but it's the original term of what it's supposed to be.
Does he capitalize the original? I'm curious on the.
I think he does in the lowercase is the shitcoins, but I could be off on that.
I'm just curious. Anyways, I'll read it. I'm going
to
read it.
Yeah, I recommend anybody read it. But my point is that like back to the Argentina, back to all that, like before we were hopeless, there's not much we can do. But now, you know, we can move those values. We can move those trust systems, those structures, everything into a system that, as we all know, only truly cares about honoring its code base. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give a shit about us or about us changing the rules or attempting to. If the code don't change, it just does what it does, mm-hmm. which is why it's the ultimate form of trust. So his big thing around the book is basically like somebody back in the 1600s when they were, I forgot who it was, Carl Smith or something like that. I could be wrong. Basically has this like saying where it's like authority is the ultimate truth. I'm butchering that. Authority is still, it's not. But he basically through cryptography and through Bitcoin, we're able to basically change that word authority into truth. Mm-hmm. Governs all systems or something along that lines. But I've been on that mode lately, man. And every time I see, like, that's the stuff that really engages me in Bitcoin is like the philosophical side of how we can use this to really change things as opposed to the currency. But I'm also one in the 5%, right? Like I'm in the small percentage of people that would even give a shit to know that's happening. Mm-hmm. And the reason I text my wife the Argentina thing with Tucker is because she's a casual Bitcoiner, but like, man, like how many people are actually paying attention to this and seeing that it's actually happening?
Only the people that zoom out a little bit.
And that sucks because that's a small percentage.
Yeah, because the whole fiat system has got everybody focused on the task at hand.
Yeah.
Nobody has enough time to zoom out and just sit and think for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And when I say zoom out, like, you know, think about what you're doing, why you're doing it, and what effect it has. And then zoom out from there. Imagine yourself inside of the, you know, the world as a system and see what is working around you, what is working against you, what is working for you, you know, and see how your life happens inside of, you almost like have to imagine yourself on like the Truman Show, you know, that movie with Jim Carrey where his whole life is essentially sketched out in terms of, well, I wouldn't say, I can't remember now if how much of their of his life they planned out. They definitely planned for certain events to happen in his life and to make like essentially what reality TV is.
Sure.
You know, you kind of set up a scene and you try to provoke it and get it to happen and play out. And then whatever happens after that is great TV, allegedly. And so you kind of just put yourself in that perspective of like, okay, like what is everything happening around me and how does it all fit together? Why is everything around me happening like this? And that's, I think, another thing. It's like you're too zoomed in and you're not asking why. And those two things together will lead you to run in a hamster wheel your whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta ask why for sure. And maybe it takes an event, maybe not. But I also think it's just like the psyops, they're too strong nowadays. Like they're just heavy, man. They're not.
It's too easy now, though, because of how zoomed in people are.
Right.
You know, once you pass the event horizon, it's like it's almost easier to keep people in control than it ever was before.
Because
you don't have to convince them anymore.
Yeah.
They're already so far down your line of thinking, your reality, your narrative that you are spoon feeding them. And they're just accepting it because it's been, you know, ingrained into the culture, into the daily life, ingrained into your habits and everything. Like, used to come home every day and CNN was on the TV and it was all the COVID shit. And it was just like every single fucking day coming home and that stuff was on. And now we don't even watch the news.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
Although they're trying to bring the comeback.
You know, it's funny because now my whole family's had COVID and now we're like, okay, what else you got? Because this wasn't shit.
I'm curious to see like if they successfully could do it again. Because more now with the stirs of it coming back,
It ain't working on me.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people basically take the same. Even people that I know that were vaxxed were like, not again.
I'm going to be viral on the internet in somebody's cell phone video because I will be the dude having a freak out. I will do that. I've done it before. It's not. And the first experience, the first time I did it was really, I did it over, like, I made a mountain out of a molehill and I probably should have just sucked it up and moved on. But I was in the middle of moving and that's already a stressful situation. So the volcano just blew up.
Yeah, whatever. What does this look like? Exploded on social media?
Dude, I mean, if you pulled the security camera, you would have thought I was having a conniption fit in the middle of a U-Haul store and just yelling at everything.
Oh, the listeners need this tape.
Dude, you know, somebody out there probably has it and just replays it every, you know, month or so for a good laugh.
But what ticked you off, though?
I made a reservation and they didn't have my reservation when I showed up. And then they claimed that somebody had contacted me over the phone and I had agreed to switch my reservation to a totally different store. And I like the truth. This was pre-Bitcoin. So like this was a innate feeling in me that was just, it just exploded. And I was like, I'm fucking sick of the lies. This is bullshit. I didn't change this. Like, you know, I went off and went crazy and then, you know, went outside, had a cigarette and eventually just, you know, found a different solution with those guys after I screamed in there. I'm surprised they didn't kick me out, but they probably get a lot of people doing that on the reg.
I bet there's, yeah. I wonder how many of those like shitty fiat practices go away with Bitcoin on the stand, and you know, in the Bitcoin standard.
I don't know, man. I think that was a company failure personally. You know, I was very meticulous about my move, hence the, you know, easily being set off over something not going according to plan.
Yeah.
Anyways, I took us way down this tangent.
It's all good.
But yeah, I will be that dude flipping out on the mask people. about whatever, or I'll just leave and I won't come back.
I just want to know if it happens again. I don't know how I'm going to respond. For example, I got, you know, heading back to the Northeast in November, or at least I plan to, you know, tickets already booked, all that.
Think you're getting on a plane without a mask?
That's what I mean. It's like, so a few people have reached out to me recently. Hey man, looking forward to seeing you or whatever. You know, blah, blah, blah. And like in the beginning, like when I first booked the tickets, I was like, yeah, same here. Looking forward to seeing it. And now I'm like, let's see what happens in November. Because I don't, and more so much for my little two, not necessarily for me, because I've gone on a plane with a mask 1,000 times.
Yeah.
So, but like, yeah, I don't want my kids wearing masks, man.
Mm-mm.
And I'm willing to give up those tickets.
It's literally bad for your health.
Legit. So that this is what I mean. Like in the beginning, we were all confused and we were all kind of like trying to figure it out, everybody. Mm. But now it's like, we know.
Yeah.
So like, you're not about to get me on this one now. I don't care what rules you have. I don't care whatever you have. I will starve the airline industry. If y'all gonna do this.
They won't get my business.
Well, they already got my money. But I'm like, I'm really strong on taking the stand on like, I'll lose that money.
Yeah.
Because we're all losing money anyways. Ha ha.
Boom.
So
surprise.
Who cares who I lose it with? The government or the airlines? Somebody's taking it.
Yeah.
That's another topic I need to... Maybe next week or something we need to hit on, but it's like, it feels like every day I look at my accounts and like somebody's siphoning money from my account. Sometimes it's because of me and my habits, and other times it's like, wait, how? Like, where did you get 300 from? Like, but the airline is next. And yeah, I'm curious to see if they can pull this maneuver again. And by the maneuver, I mean is literally nationwide crisis. Because that's another thing that Kaysen talks about in the book, is that the sovereign will always try to induce the state of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Sovereign being the government or the state. Because obviously, if there's an emergency, they're there to fix it for you. So they always induce that state. So I'm very curious to see if they're going to be able to pull the state of COVID emergency again all over the country.
Yeah.
Very. I mean, if I'm going to guess yes, because I think, like you were saying a little while ago, I think people are just so far in that it's, you know, whatever daddy tells me to do, I'm going to do. But I'm curious because the optimism lately of people's responses, even those that have been vaxxed, have been not again. I'm not getting another booster. I'm not getting another whatever. Yeah. And that makes me optimistic. But as a nation as a whole, I'm not very optimistic.
Yeah.
I just think.
I would be eating my words if I disagreed with you. Because I literally just went on a tangent about how everyone's all zoomed in and nobody's thinking about the why or zooming out and seeing themselves as part of a bigger, I hate to use the word system here, but bigger economy is not the right word. Environment is probably the best word.
Yeah.
You know, see yourself in the bigger environment and consider that there are, you know, bigger events in motion than your trip to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And that there is, you know, significant weight behind these things in motion for specific reasons. And that doesn't make me a fucking conspiracy theorist. It makes me somebody with a brain. Because if you want to sit here and think that people don't have intentions, you're just ignorant. I'm sorry. Like, actually.
And the incentive behind the intention is very. You
know, if I'm Walmart, the last thing I want is Amazon springing up and stealing my business and my market share. So you absolutely believe I'm going to be trying to fight that every way I absolutely can.
Yeah.
And if you think that politicians don't see you, the individual, as a threat, if you think that they don't see your freedom as a threat, you really need to reexamine how everything works. You can't sit here and say that if you're not under their control that they're gonna have a better time. No, absolutely they're gonna have a better time when you're under their control, because you do everything they say and you play into every scheme that they create. If you think that the world is the opposite, you really need to zoom out and ask why at least 5 times.
How is your money doing for you, and what does that money fund, right? Like those are all these you're saying earlier. People just don't ask why.
Yeah.
Just ask the very basic questions. We've talked about
how's your money doing? It's shit. Why? Oh, because they print a lot of it. Why? Yeah. Why indeed?
Yeah. No. And how they fuel these state of emergencies and how they continue to always be one. And I remember a chart that I saw, and we're very doom and gloom on this episode, but that's perfectly fine, y'all. Because it's doom and gloom. It's doom and gloomy out there, man. Literally today. It's rainy out there.
We got rain for the first time in 4 months.
Word. I'm waiting for it to cool
down. Hallelujah.
Yeah. But but understanding that I saw that chart that was basically like every, like literally asynchronous, every single time there's a new political race, there's a new flu or you know, swine flu, H1N1, yeah. Right? Like, and it's like, look, I don't want people to ever, like, I always sign off with these shows with something along the lines of like, the state doesn't want you to do good. The state wants to see you hurt. And it's like, you don't got to take my word for it. Just look at the receipts. Mm-hmm. And those things like that are receipts. Yeah. That's not an accident. Like, mm-hmm. it's just there.
Yeah.
So like, I would say to the person, and they never will, because the state doesn't even exist. It's just a made up belief. But if the receipts are incorrect, I welcome anybody from the state to tell me otherwise. They never will. So what do I have to go by besides these receipts?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I say to the listener of this show is, you don't have to take my word for it. I'm just a dude that knows some shit, doesn't know a lot of other shit, but I know how to look at receipts,
mm-hmm.
and I know how to understand that there's nothing in these receipts that say they're looking out for your best interest.
But Jose, you're not an accountant. How do you know that's a receipt?
Because listen, man, I know how you fuck people over. I come from an environment where people get fucked over and asking why, right? And that should be the name of this episode, is Ask Why. But asking why is what eventually got me sitting here next to you, is because I grew up in an environment where, like, literally by design, the projects is an environment that is meant to continue to punish you, mm-hmm. police surveillance all the time. You don't know shit about economics. You don't know shit about savings. You don't know nothing about finances. Mm-hmm. And it's literally built for, the ghetto is literally a panopticon,
mm-hmm.
for a group of people that the state dislikes. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, that usually is minorities. It doesn't always mean the case. I grew up with a bunch of white people in the hood too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always a place to put people that the state just doesn't agree with or doesn't like.
I'll give you an example that is literally less than a mile away from this spot in Austin. And I know this because my previous life, previous career, I had to do research had my team do research on the area that we were opening up a new banking center in. And it's just right, just here, just east of I-35,
yep.
on 5th Street. This is the area now known as Plaza Saltillo, here in Austin, Texas. And, oh man, back when that area was, just housing and stuff, they had already kind of successfully pushed minorities east of 35.
Mm.
And then they decided to turn that section of town into like a rail yard industrial complex thing. And that's the way it had been for, decades. I think this was going back to like the 60s, here in Austin. I can't remember now exact, dates, but it had just been forever that it was, that area had been turned into that. And so of course it killed property values immediately next to aluminum smelting and rail cars and all this other stuff. Austin was totally different back then. And we actually had like a lot of like railway stuff over there, a lot of like industrial type things. And so, you know, they plopped that right in the middle of a minority neighborhood. And guess what? That whole area is, it's now being gentrified.
Yeah.
It's being improved. You could say, and you know, all these fancy houses are being built up there. Well, guess what? Like all these minorities are now being pushed out even further. Typically or traditionally like low income area, property values all of a sudden go way up. The taxes go sky high. You can no longer afford to live in a home that you don't have a mortgage payment on,
right?
Because the annual taxes are just astronomical compared to your income, which has always been at a particular level because you have been kept in the same social class,
yep.
slash, you know, socioeconomic position for decades, and your family members, your ancestors, everyone as well. And so what you're seeing now is everybody getting priced out of there, everybody getting kicked out, all of their homes getting demolished and then new ones built up.
The receipts.
Yeah.
That's all the receipts, yeah. man. Like,
and it was all driven by the city. It was city planners planning all of that development over there, just like they planned the railway and everything when it was just, certain demographics living there.
And now, if you and dad did some dirty shit like that, we would have to, you know, defend ourselves, say mm-hmm. something, right?
Yeah.
But they're allowed to do this. Leave the receipts on the table, walk away, and they don't have to say anything about
claim
it.
Claim eminent domain, claim victory over your soul, and then they walk away.
Right, and that's the shit that ticks me the fuck off mm-hmm. about all this stuff. I think we're being too doom and gloom. We got any Bitcoin shit there?
Oh, man, the first thing on the list is another sort of doom and gloom one.
Heavy.
But,
what we got?
Gotta be said. This one's more somber, sort of a thing. And, you know, just want to have a moment for, like Bubba said, you know, most important thing is the people in your life. And that includes your beloved family pets or beloved family members. Recently just had one pass. Earlier this year, had another one pass. So two in the same year, definitely a hard thing to experience. So just pour one out for all of the lovely furry critters we call our family members.
Word.
And who are a part of our lives and give us joy and help us through this existence we call life.
Facts. Because that's what they do. They serve. Yeah. Right, and help us get through it. You're right.
R.I.P. Kitty. R.I.P. Sadie.
R.I.P.
All right. On to more fun things.
Let's go.
I'm getting back into video games.
Okay.
Which is interesting because I have lost some skill, especially in the FPS arena.
And the reflex department.
Yeah, dude, the reflex. Oh my God, man. I feel like I was just like a little agile F-16 or whatever when I was, you know, a kid, you know, able to just do anything. And then now I'm like,
yeah, the Wright brothers playing that.
Dude, I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, yeah, this is like the Ringling Brothers music in the background. It's just watching me try to chase down people and, you know, use.
Yeah.
Well, another thing too, is like, I'm using keyboard and mouse for this first person shooter game, which is Counter-Strike Global Offensive. I'm doing participating in a tournament,
yeah,
put on by Swan called the Orange League. And we're going to, you know, a whole bunch of Bitcoin companies, a whole bunch of Bitcoiners are getting together for a tournament, and there's some, you know, sats prizes and other things. But it's a really cool thing, I think, that you know, gaming is getting injected with Bitcoin. And now it's a different dynamic. I'm not playing for you know, Fortnite tokens or whatever the hell. Like, I'm playing for real sound money. I'm playing for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Not that I'm gonna win. You know, I really want my team to do well, and that might involve me actually sitting out and not playing and having stronger people on the team play. But it certainly changes the feel of the game for me.
Sure.
Knowing that there's sats on the line. Even if it was dollars, I don't think I would be as excited, because then it's like, okay, well, how do I get that over to my bank account and not get charged a wire transfer fee or some other fee or something like that? With Lightning, dude, it's just there. You know, here's my address. Pay me.
Yeah, no, I'm also excited. Well, I let y'all down because I was invited to that team and I haven't turned on CSGO ever.
We're full up now. Sorry, bro.
Nah, it's all good, because like, I thought it was, I talked to, I don't want to dox anybody, but I talked to the person who got me in the group, and it was just like, oh yeah, you could just set up and go. But then as I continue to discover, you kind of need to set up for this. Like, meaning you need a rig. You need,
oh yeah, online, right. Online gaming, like if you, yeah, if you,
so
don't,
my assumption,
you,
was, yeah, is like, I'm about to just load up a page and play,
nah,
like a portal, but I that had was, that fucked up.
That was my assumption, and I had an inadequate machine, and I knew it right away.
So that's why I let y'all down. You set up, I just have, I'm not equipped to do this.
Yeah.
So
had, for it's fair, you know, that's fair. I had to equip myself, and I, it was not a pleasant experience dropping that money for this, but.
Yeah,
I do want to do other games too. Sorry, I keep cutting you.
No. It's fine, because I do agree with you that I'm excited about it on all levels, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a big Thunder Games person, and that's more like just like mobile games, card games, solid. I love what they're doing. They just released Duels, which is pretty dope.
What is that?
I didn't really look into it, but I think that means is that like, they have a solitaire game. Let's just use that one for easy. I can now link up with you and play multiplayer solitaire. Solitaire is a bad example.
I'm not even good at single player solitaire.
I don't even think you could do multiplayer solitaire.
I don't even know how you would do that.
Yeah, but they got other games. This moment. but I think,
I like the Turbo 84, the little car one.
Right.
I played that for so much, and I did actually end up withdrawing sats out of there. Few hundred sats or whatever.
Bitcoin Bounce is one of my favorite like phone games ever.
Oh yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah. So like, shout out to Thunder Games.
Sarutobi as well. That's a different company. I think that's Zebedee.
That might be Zebedee. Yeah. But I had Des Dickerson and I'm blanking on their head of was it John
Simon?
Sorry, no, was it Simon? No, damn blank. Anyways, I had them on the show very early on, maybe like episode 6, like when they were releasing a few of their early games. Snake, when they released Snake, their version of Snake.
Yeah.
And one thing I walked away from that conversation is just like how enthusiastic they are about gaming.
Yeah.
And they were early. So now more companies are starting to come out and trying to link Lightning with gaming. Yeah. But like, I seem to follow them because they are pure gamers at heart and are actually doing stuff with duels.
I think that's the secret sauce. I don't think any like big old gaming company conglomerate is going to come in and own this. I think the ones who get out ahead of the pack are going to be the passionate gamers who see an opportunity to integrate Bitcoin or make it exciting in some new way.
Yeah.
That, because they're already a gamer, so they know what gamers like.
Yeah. Well, the trustless nature of Bitcoin, right? And then, like you said, not having to like trust like somebody holding the fiat or holding the prize or whatever. That's really cool. But like, you could even go to like, I'm starting to think like when the big dogs come into play, like these single player games, right? So I recently I sprained my ankle really bad. So that's why I started gaming again. But I started playing Bethesda Starfield that just came out. And what I was thinking throughout this game is like, boy, wouldn't it be nice if I, instead of getting these bullshit ass achievements, I got sats.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, it doesn't even have to be in a multiplayer level where there's a pot. That's really cool. But what about just giving me incentives for doing things within the game, sort of like trophies and achievements did for whatever, 20 years now, which mean nothing, right? Yeah. You have this like Xbox. I don't even know what they're called anymore. Are they called achievement points?
They're just called achievements.
You got, but the
there
score.
There is a number attached to
it. Yeah, like your profile has this like, yo, you're the shit. And I remember where like the higher it was, you were balling, but you weren't really doing anything with that.
Right.
How cool would it be if instead of getting 50 points for that, I get 50 sets. Yeah. It doesn't even have to be nothing big.
Exactly.
So that's what I'm kind of interested in the gaming world, which I think will be inevitable.
Yeah.
It starts like this.
I actually, I have a game that I play on my phone that unfortunately does not have sats in it yet, but, it's called Golf Clash.
Okay.
They've got their, you know, their carny tokens or whatever in there. You got to buy the gems to buy the gold and use the gold to upgrade your clubs and buy other things in the game, whatever. You know, it's that two-tiered token system that basically people end up paying money into, and then you just don't really know where the money goes after that. And like, how did I spend $50? It's gone in a second because they have you on all these other schemes, you know.
Gone. Yeah.
If you just throw all that out and put sats in there instead, it gets a lot simpler. And like, now you could even look at maybe paying people out in sats instead of, oh yeah, we'll pay you gold. It's like, well, I can't fucking do anything except upgrade my clubs with this gold. This is stupid.
That's,
you
know, a great point.
If I can withdraw, all of a sudden I'm in the game to earn money and I'm playing the game more, and maybe I'm spending some sats to purchase upgrades to my clubs to then go out and play the game more and beat people and earn more sats by beating them.
Right.
And it's like, it's almost a no-brainer. Like, why have this in-game currency that doesn't do shit for the player? It only enriches the game creator and host. You know, you can still have that.
Yeah.
But with Bitcoin, and now your customers who play the game all the time, your regular users, are powered up because they're able to get something out of the game instead of just a digital profile of upgraded golf clubs and, you know, trophy count and, you know, some imaginary numbers on a screen about, you know, that represent some ability to do something in the game, like purchase things.
Fix the incentives.
Yeah, fix the incentives. Yeah, change up the incentives and you'll change up the bottom line.
Yeah, and then the universal nature of that, meaning that like the in-game currency I can only use in this damn game, but if I take my Lightning wallet, then I'll be able to jump over to the next game and use my funds there. Obviously, that doesn't really work out for the dev, but it does because it keeps me coming back to your game, especially if it's a good game. So it now incentivizes you to make better games.
But the dev does benefit because it's a network effect. The more games that plug into Bitcoin, the more Bitcoin is valuable, and the more valuable it is to then plug into Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And it's this feedback loop. And
the more players come to play.
The more players come to play, the devs get paid, you know, everybody wins.
Right. And I mean, to be honest, if it's a business in itself, like the developer could easily just get like routing fees for Lightning transactions.
Yeah.
So if I'm using your game, you get like a 1% split or a 2% split of any transaction I do in your game. That incentivizes you to make better games.
Yep.
Scaling up to the development end, because one of my biggest things with video gaming nowadays is that the games are just not finished. They're half-baked games.
Dude.
So now the incentive for me to even be a beta tester for your game is legit. You give me a Lightning wallet, right? I start running an alpha or a beta version of your game.
Yeah.
You start streaming me sats per the amount of time that I'm actually testing the game.
Or bugs you report.
And bugs that I report, right? Now I have an incentive to do that for you, because right now I currently don't. Not a good one anyways. And you have an incentive to reduce the amount of bugs and make these games better because you don't want to be paying people out these.
I think there's a company called Stackworks that does stuff like that. That'd like be dope. little micro tasks, but it's not gaming. It's not game testing. I'm sure a game tester could plug into Stackworks and, you know, have a list of things for people to go and do. But a lot of times you're just going and doing these, some people might say mindless, but they're tests or different like QA type things that need to be done on software. But maybe I don't want to hire a QA team and I want to just put a whole bunch of bounties out there.
Yeah.
Like that's where Stackworks comes in. You know, it's like the site where you can go and take all these jobs and gigs and go and do them and get sats.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've never tried it, so I have no experience with it, but, I have,
makes sense.
I have heard a lot about it and heard that it's going well. I think, Paul Itoy is the one on that. And he also did Sphinx.
Okay.
Lightning and video games.
Lightning and video games is very promising. I'm excited for that. As an old school gamer, I try to get back into it, but excuse me, I still think it's going to be very far, but you know, before we get like big dogs actually playing ball here. But shout out to the Thunders of the world. Shout out to the Zebedees of the world. Yep. Shout out to
Dust Up, which is a new one on the scene. They're the ones putting on this. So I said earlier, it's...
Is that Neil and Boyce?
Yeah, that is Neil.
Shout out to Neil.
I'm about to give him proper shout out here. But Swan's putting on the tournament, but the infrastructure for all the payouts of the sats is being facilitated by a new company called Dust Up, and it's headed up by our good friend Neil Woodfine, who is formerly of Unchained and went to chase his dreams. And huge kudos because I love video games and excited about this tournament and to see his new baby in action.
Yeah.
So shout out to Neil Woodfine and Dust Up. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, shout out to Neil. Got to do more info on Dust Up. But yeah, I know Neil does great stuff personally. And if you add games to that equation, sign me up. I'm all aboard.
Esports tournament payouts infrastructure.
Interesting.
That's what I understand is the business.
And that's huge because esports is massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it gets continually massive over and over again. And old guys like us get washed by young guys all the time. But they have a good time getting paid for it. It's like a job for them to destroy us. Anything there hugely highlight before we sign off here in a little bit?
No, I think we got some other things on here, but they're not tell me about the BTC Pay app. What's going on there?
Oh, well, I don't know shit about it. Naturally, everybody who listens to the show knows Jose don't know shit about the stuff that's at the topic. But, you know, listen, what I do know is from, you know, my time in working with nodes and, you know, setting my own node up and trying to, you know, set up a merch shop before and stuff is that, you know, BTC Pay Server is the best non-custodial solution for anybody who's trying to receive Bitcoin to their own store, right? Mm-hmm. Their own POS system that's literally... your keys, you know. So they're partnering with, I believe, they're using the LDK kit and they're partnering up with a few big dogs in the Lightning space to basically be able to make a POS app that doesn't need your own node, right? So basically now anybody will be able to get a non-custodial solution on their phone to accept Bitcoin. So if you're a vendor or if you whatever, and... that's amazing. Not only does it display how far Lightning has come, because Lightning has come from you personally having to manage channels and you hope, you know, liquidity and having the node up and running, to now, you know, in a way sort of like Mutiny is doing with their wallet, now being able to basically have the node within the phone.
Yeah.
Which is massive.
I love every time I hear that someone is spinning up a new app, a new this or that, that spins up a node in your phone. To me, that's so so exciting because, like, me, you know, spinning up my Bitcoin Core node at home, it was great. Well, technically, I guess I can't say it's Bitcoin Core. It's a my node. Is the implementation the software that I'm using on my Raspberry. But it wasn't too terribly difficult to set up.
Yeah.
But it's not something I want to be like, you know, trying to run all the time and mess around with. And just these sort of on-the-fly solutions is just like, it's like, oh, you want to do self-custody. Well, that's all this, you know, 16 steps, A to Z, whatever, desktop at home, node machine, blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
Now it's like, oh, no, it's all on your phone. You just spin it up and it's ready.
It's amazing. And to me, and this is what I was saying earlier about free and open source, you know, like we have to contribute and we have to help these devs out because these are the tools right here that empower Bitcoin in the hands of people. We could wait for Cash App to do it. It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. They have a whole network of small businesses and people to do it. That's inevitable. But like before then, we need non-custodial solutions and people innovating in the space with these, I'm going to call them weapons, so you can call them tools, with these weapons to be able to actually fulfill the prophecy of what Bitcoin mm-hmm. is supposed to do, separate money and state. And we can do that by not only educating like we do here on the show, but also being able to have a node, which was historically very difficult to pull off with, and not have to worry about liquidity, not have to worry about any of that stuff, and be able to say, hey, I just edited your video, I provided a service, or I just gave you some homemade tallow soap or whatever it is, you can pay me now and I don't have to trust the railways of Cash App and all those other places to do mm-hmm. so. Yeah. So yeah, not like you said, not only the thought of spinning up a node inside of a phone 2 years ago, I would have been like, fuck you, bullshit. but the fact that it's actually out in real time and the fact that it's actually being worked on by, I would say, the most trusted POS system in this space, and that's BTC Pay Server. They've earned that reputation. They've earned that spot. True and open source code, you can go check it out yourself, but also always geared for the vendor, always mm-hmm. geared for the service provider, always geared for that. And that's, I wouldn't say is lost and forgotten, but a lot of people don't really pay attention to because there's bigger shit in the space.
Yeah.
Right, like, I could just get paid on Cash App. You sure can, but that's not the point.
Yeah,
the point is the ethos of Bitcoin. And the point is that there's still companies and people and devs that are building upon the ethos mm-hmm. and not trying to just jump into the Cash Apps of the world. Yeah. Which I think Spiral is a part of this, or like a sort of like in that universe of Cash App. And but either way, it works from what I hear. And when the app comes, I'm very excited. I am a service provider. I do use services like Zaprite for my invoices. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Parker. Shout out to Will. Shout out to John. I'm a John, huge respects. I've known John for quite some time and I've always loved Zaprite. And yeah, like allow me to get paid in Bitcoin in an easier fashion.
Mm-hmm.
In Zaprite's example, it's more just like the communicator in between the two things. But in BTC Pay Server's example, is directly to me and my node and my sovereignty, my cold storage, whatever you want. So yeah, super bullish on the app. I don't know much about it. I don't think many people do because there is no beta and it's not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the weight that they pulled in the space, it's not really easy to set up a BTC Pay Server that's non-custodial. So they're just going to go ahead and make it that much easier to do so.
Right.
And I'm excited about that.
And it's really important to have these self-custody, these DIY options available where you don't have to trust anybody, because just because the government or whatever entity has not turned its head yet and started trying to choke out the centralized points of Cash App, Coinbase, you name it, anything that the state can strangle, they will strangle to get their way. And it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so it's important to be prepared. It's important to understand how to use these tools, because one day it will happen and you're going to be faced with either buying food for your family or going hungry because of choices that you made to either outsource I just lost it here, but to outsource the way that you're using your money, or if you've done it yourself and are operating the tools and steering the ship yourself, because that's the difference, really. It's do you eat or do you not eat, because somebody else in some ivory tower somewhere said no.
Right. And they can't block code. They can't make code illegal. And the software only cares about the code. I'll leave y'all with that. When Argentina comes our way, or the situation in Argentina comes our way, you can trust the state and you can trust the code. I'll leave that up to y'all. You can check out these episodes. You can check out all the glorious Bitcoiners out there that are screaming at the top of their lungs to run for the hill. But I do want people to understand that there's a better way to do this. And Kev just said it. You got to put this ownership in your hand, and we got to support the people that are allowing us normies, because when it comes to coders and devs, we're normies as hell. They allow us to be able to, you know, fulfill the prophecy, as I said a little while ago.
And if you see me on the internet screaming at somebody, just know that it's because I didn't want to wear a mask.
And if I'm doing this show in November and didn't take a break, I probably also didn't want to wear the mask. So I stayed my ass in Texas and didn't jump on the plane. But we'll get to that when we get to that. That wraps up another good episode here, good sir.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you as always. Once again, I was going to give you all a little bit more on what this new Talking in Bits is like. But because I spent the first 6 months of this year giving false promises, I'm just going to shut the fuck up. And I'm going to let me and Kev do what we do. And proof of work is going to be the ultimate decider factor here. And not what Jose says here in these next few lines.
We'll give him the slow drip.
We're going to give him the slow drip. We're going to give him the value. We're going to continue to be better. As always, we appreciate y'all. We appreciate your feedback. We appreciate your input. We appreciate your value. So whether you're sending stats over as value, whether you're sending comments or topics over, whether you're part of the show, any of that qualifies as value to us here on the show. And we look forward to partnering with you in that value journey that we're all chasing here. So that wraps up Talking in Bits. I don't know what the name of this episode is, but we'll figure it out after. And we'll get this up. And until next week.
Until next time, guys. Thank you.
Later, y'all.